Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And yesterday, I saw a tweet go out, and the minute it came out, I just said, all right, well, just get ready, because the next 7 days are going to be astounding. As far as just creating chaos everywhere, creating controversy, creating viral videos, creating protests, creating anger, creating comedy, creating anything that, I mean, just, this is the definition of peeing on the anthill. So yesterday, and this is after the end of the season, there was pretty much a dead issue of the kneeling during the national anthem. We remember during the playoffs, I don't think anybody kneeled during the playoffs. This was an issue that was completely dead, done, over with. The people who wanted to make their statements had made their statements. Everyone had kind of stopped really watching the pregame to write down and tweet who was standing and who was kneeling. That was all done and over with. And then, of course, came Jerry Jones, the president of the United States. They brought it back to life. And then, of course, what you heard where a rule was made in the NFL at the urging of new policy was thrown out there, which of course everyone went nuts about. That you would be suspended or what was the punishment
you would be reprimanded in some way. I forget if it was up to the teams or if it was
they put it in the laps of each team.
Sure,
what they wanted to do.
And then Miami so boldly came out and said, "Yeah, we're down with that. We're going to punish you if you end up." Don't do anything but stand for the national anthem. And then the next day, the Players Association turned around and I was like, oh, we didn't really say anything about that. You know, they tried to, you know, completely stand away from the statement they had made one day earlier. So it's been a back and forth. And now it kind of got softened. Like, even the owners who for a while were kind of doing whatever the president wanted has stepped back and saw how it kind of backfired on their organizations. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to kind of stay out of this. And it got quiet again.
The whole policy we came up with, we're gonna look at that. And they haven't had a solution yet.
And now you have one of the biggest sponsors for the NFL, Nike. A logo that is on, I believe, every one of the jerseys.
Yeah, it's a new apparel deal, yeah.
Yeah, okay, new apparel deal. So all of these players will have a Nike swoosh on their jerseys. They just launched the face of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign, and that face is Colin Kaepernick. And they released a photo of the first marketing campaign, and it's Kaepernick's face, and it says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And then it's got the Nike swoosh, Just Do It. And all of a sudden, everyone's heads exploded. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Do we protest? Do we not? Do we get angry? Do we throw away our Nike gear? When's the press? To be quite honest, I'm counting the minutes until Donald Trump tweets something about this. I mean, this is going to blow up everywhere. And here's the best thing about it. Here's the craziest thing about all of this. I guarantee you, because this is a sponsor of the NFL, that the NFL had to know something about this. And this weekend, there's going to be ads. Think about it. On Sunday football, this ad is going to be running. I guarantee you there's going to be logos, you know, maybe even somewhere visible on the field. Colin Kaepernick is going to be everywhere. And it is going to be chaos. And you're going to have people like doing this. Like yesterday, and it started. you had people saying, well, you know what? I don't like Nike anymore. Like this dude who just videotaped himself burning some Nike shoes.
I'm going to enjoy.
Yep.
Hell, I might buy, buy some Adidas. You know how many other sneakers there are to buy choose from?
Quite a few.
You're going to go ahead. You're going to go ahead and say, hey, buy them our shoes. We stand with people who kneel for the national anthem. Well, sorry, Nike. I've been buying you for the past 20 plus years. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The s'mores?
Not only am I burning my favorite pair of Nikes, you are burning your sales. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he didn't really think that last phrase through. However, I think they already got your money for those shoes that you're burning.
Right. Maybe, you know, like burning a jersey. It's like, it's maybe, a little late.
Maybe instead of burning those shoes, you maybe donate it to, like, the homeless veterans, you know, someone who could use it, because you obviously seem to care so much about that. So on top of that, you had the singer or the singer of Big and Rich, one of the guys, Big or Rich.
The guy with the deep voice.
Just choose. By the way, Big and Rich still a thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. They're still
touring, those two
still,
guys?
They're still the opening song on game day every weekend, every Saturday.
Is that Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy?
Yes. Well, that's those two guys, but the song is different that on college game day every week. They're still the two guys. Yeah.
Okay. What was their follow-up single?
I think it was the game day opening. It was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and then College Game Day. Yeah.
All right. So John Ridge tweeted, and he's got a picture of the tops of two socks. All right, the tops of them.
Yep.
Just the part with the Nike logo. And it said, our sound man just cut the Nike swoosh off his socks. Get ready, Nike. Multiply that by millions. Oh, yeah. You are just, it is going to be, there is going to be somebody this weekend who walks out on the field and has put tape over their Nike swoosh, and all the networks are going to be like, look at this guy. We got a new here. And then the locker rooms are going to be fighting each other. Dude, this is going to be, and you know what? Goodell's going to have to say something. That's the best part of all of this, is because you know how right now a lot of the people in the NFL are afraid of the president, and the president, obviously, they want to, you've seen for the past 2 years with this thing, they have wanted to be in his favor. Look, we're doing what you want us to do, and now Goodell is going to have to answer to this, and it is going to be awesomely uncomfortable.
So that
because he's not going to want to lose the money of Nike. He's not going to want to shun Nike, because Nike is big-time cash. Like, they are one of the biggest sponsors of the NFL. So he's going to be torn between what does this portion of America want and money. And it's going to be joyous to see him and sit there just like on the hot seat.
So I think that's the most interesting aspect of this story. You know, the league and Nike. And that apparel deal doesn't start till 2020. So I was just double checking on that deal. So we're not going to have guys covering up Nike logos yet. That may happen in a few years. Certainly everybody's cutting up, you know, everything
their
else.
Socks.
Yeah. You know, in terms of consumers, I don't know about players on the field, but that apparel deal doesn't kick in until 2020, which to me, I almost find that more interesting. Like, so Nike has, I think, done the calculus on this, and they've said, all right, well, would the league stand up? Is the league going to pressure us for this? He's the face of a 30-year campaign, effectively.
Yep.
Colin Kaepernick, who is enemy number one of the league. His suit against the league just pressed forward this weekend. A judge heard it and said, yep, no, you have a case. It's going forward. That just happened. He's enemy number one down in New York with the league. And they're making him the central piece of this marketing campaign. So Why do this?
Why?
If you're Nike?
Everyone's talking about it.
Exactly. Because they just realized that this is going to be more lucrative. I don't think for a second Nike cares about the cause. They don't care about the cause. What they care about is dollars, just like the league.
Well, think
about
it.
And they did the calculus and they said, this is more valuable than the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that's what they just realized.
And I believe that too. I don't think Nike, this is all about the bottom line.
Yes.
They did a zillion hours of research to figure out, all right, is it worth it for the four guys who are going to cut their socks off and say, I'm not going to buy Nikes anymore, for the amount of dollars they're going to get spent? Now, you have to understand, Colin Kaepernick last year was like one of the better selling jerseys in the NFL. He didn't even play.
Right.
So on top of that, this deal, he has had a deal with Nike, I think, for the past 5 years.
Since 2011
they were in
or something
the
like
Super
that.
Bowl, which yeah. I, was that 11? Okay, so it's been 2011. And they haven't used him in any advertising over the past 2 years. And they were waiting till this moment when they found out that he's bankable. And on top of this, this deal, which once again is going to, you know, there's going to be a faction of people going to get pissed off about this. It's a huge endorsement, which means he's going to have his own branded line. They're going to come out with Colin Kaepernick gear, shoes, shirts, jerseys. There's going to be Colin Kaepernick apparel. And it's also a deal, and this is really going to piss people off on one side of it, is that it's going to pay him millions a year, and he gets royalties off of everything that's sold.
It's, I think Charles Robinson referred to it as like a star deal or something like that.
It's what somebody like LeBron James gets.
It's now it's ridiculous.
Well, he gets like a cut for all of it, but they have calculated, and it is going to be amazing to watch Roger Goodell have to be torn between, well, I'm getting all the money from this side, but this is the president over here. And, oh, it's going to be the best squirm television you've ever seen. It is going to be just like sitting there. Chaos everywhere. And it's going to be the reactions throughout this whole weekend. And now it's going to make more people kneel. It's going to make more people like on the other side of it protest and go crazy. This was dead. That's the best thing about all of this. This was a dead issue. It was over, and all of these people just brought it back up, and now one side, you know, when you've got the one side who was anti this, finally the other side's coming up, and it is just, it's all out war, and it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be
insane, and I can't wait for Goodell to have to answer about it. Or, that's going to be the moment. That's going to be some of the best TV we're going to see in a long, 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 long. You thought The Office was uncomfortable? You thought Curb Your Enthusiasm was uncomfortable television? Wait till he speaks. Oh, it's going to be
any of the owners. I mean, not just Goodell. Wait for any of these owners to open their mouth. How do you not criticize a sponsor?
Yeah.
How do you not
what
do that?
What does Jerry Jones say?
How do you play that? Exactly.
Jerry Jones's pockets are getting lined because of people like Nike.
Patriots are playing Houston this weekend. Bob McNair has put his foot in his mouth so many times on this.
You're going to rip on one of your biggest sponsors?
Exactly.
Oh, everyone, like no one can talk. Like you can't win. No matter what size these owners take, like, unless it's the side they truly believe. And that's like, we'll get to see if there's any like real integrity. Like, do you truly believe one thing or that? Not even integrity. Like, we'll just see who does the best double talk this weekend, because they're going to try to please all sides, and it's going to fail miserably. And it's created just some of the best. Every press conference, people are going to be asked about this. Oh, let's get ready. Get your popcorn ready, as Mr. Terrell Owens said, because this is going to be a crap storm like you've never seen. All right, 617-779-0985. We will get to Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. He will preview what we got to see this weekend and how he feels this roster is going to fare for the upcoming games. I know John Wallach is shaking his head like he's feeling a little bit down on the...
Little worried, okay. But I've been worried before, and they've gone out and won 13 games. All so, right. I mean, you know, a little worried. They look a little thin at a couple of positions. I'm sorry, I'm taking the Jones role here, but they are. They're all a little thin at a few places.
Well, we'll talk to him in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, it's Touch and Rich. Adam Jones is in this morning for Fred. And by the way, just real quick, regarding people burning their Nikes because of Colin Kaepernick, who's now the face of the new Just Do It campaign, somebody sent me a picture, and this guy saying, "Hi, my name is Mustard. I stand for the flag, and to Honer, Big and Rich, and their Salmon and President, I'm going to burn my Nike shoes." And it's a picture of a guy burning his shoes while he's wearing them, and his feet are on fire. And then there's a picture that just says, "I'm in the hospital." You just see his burnt feet. So, once again, I don't know if that's real or not, but it actually made me laugh. All right. So, speaking of, it's not really football, although I am looking forward to finding out, like, just hearing all the owners have to answer, "Hey, your biggest sponsor, one of your biggest sponsors is running this Colin Kaepernick ahead. What do you think?" And just hearing them squirm, that should be fun. Most of the owners are savvy enough to know how to answer a question like that and to, you know, be very blah and not really give you a quote. But people like Jerry Jones,
definitely not all, including him.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see. All right, so we have with us Jim McBride, the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe. He has been covering this team and obviously has seen what kind of final product they have put together. And maybe he knows a little bit about this huge rumor that we've been hearing from Scott Zolak, which, boy, does he sound certain. On that broadcast for Game 4, he was like, yeah, they are bringing in a name that's a Golden Tate-sized wide receiver or somebody of that level of play. Jim, have you heard anything about that? Do you have any inkling of what Scott Zolak might be talking about?
I really don't. I love Zoe, but I have no idea what he's talking about here. I'm sure it's not Dez Bryant. That would be the one move that would just knock my socks off, Nike or otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, so what did you make of the Colin Kaepernick thing yesterday when Nike announced that?
Surprised. And as you talked earlier about how we thought it was kind of a dead issue, you know, standing during the national anthem and getting my binoculars out to see if there were any players on the sideline kneeling was not my favorite part of covering the NFL last year. So not really looking forward to doing that again.
Yeah, that's going to be just watching the Roger Goodell press conference is going to be the best one because he's going to have to make a choice between ripping on one of his biggest sponsors and upsetting the president of the United States. And he's going to have, I don't think he's smart enough to give the type of answer that's going to make anyone happy.
I don't know. He's as elusive as anyone on the field of play in the NFL. So I don't think you'll get much of a – you'll get a pretty good non-answer.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, so if you're taking a look at a non-Golden Tate wide receiving core, someone that doesn't have this big move that Scott Zolak seems to be hinting around to, are you worried or is Tom Brady once again just going to find a way to make it all work?
You know, there's no question that the receiving core is thin right now. You know, I'm interested to see what Amara Darbo and Chad Hansen do this week, if they can, you know, get up to speed quickly enough. I have my doubts because the offense is so, you know, difficult to learn for guys who go all the way through camp. So to come in, you know, a week before the opener and make an impact, it would be stunning. But, you know, I think with Tom, he cures a lot of the, you know, the problems that are there. He's got Gronkowski. He's got James White. You know, those two guys are going to catch a lot of passes, you know, all season long, not to mention these first 4 weeks when Julian's sidelined. But, you know, certainly it's a thin core, as the running back depth is right now, too. You know, there's a lot of questions on the offensive side of the ball, which is something we don't normally see with the Patriots. We go in every game thinking there's 30 points, you know, out there to be had, and, you know, I'm not sure that's going to be the case in these first 4 weeks.
You mentioned Gronk as someone who Brady's going to have to rely on. The Patriots gave him a pay bump, pay increase for the second consecutive year. It's incentive heavy. They just did that with Brady as well. I guess, how do you feel about those two contracts? Not extensions for either of those two star players, but a chance to earn more money this year if they play at a high level.
You know, I think it's perfect for both of them. You know, people say that Tom may have, you know, been undervalued, and, you know, he's not a guy that's ever really looked at anyone else's paycheck. You know, he plays. I've never heard him mention money or talk about money. I don't think it's, you know, obviously he's made a lot of money, so it's not as big a deal as a younger guy. But I think it's a perfect fit for him. They rewarded him with some more money. As far as Gronk goes, you know, this guy should be, he says he's more healthy than last year and he feels better than last year. And these incentives are all right underneath what he reached last year. So I would think that, you know, it's a perfect deal for him too. It makes him happy. If he reaches all his incentives or 4 out of the 5 incentives, he'll be the highest paid tight end. And you know, I don't think you can ask for much more than that.
Jimmy, are you worried about quality depth on the offensive line? And are you worried about the shortcomings of the linebacking core as we head into Week 1?
You know, I think on the offensive line, I was surprised that all the guys they brought in, you know, a lot of the veteran depth guys were released. I thought they would have kept a couple, but, you know, things just didn't work out there. I think it's if Marcus Cannon comes back and can play like the guy that suited up 2 years ago, I think this is going to be this will be a decent offensive line. You're never going to replace Solder right out of the gate, but Trent Brown has been one of the surprises of camp. I mean, they plugged him in at left tackle, and he's really done a great job. Since camp opened, for the most part, he's had a dominant summer. So I think they're okay there. I really am excited to see what happens with this front seven on the defense. I think there's a lot of young guys. There's so much versatility going on. Guys that can play inside, outside. And the most exciting thing is having Hightower back. I mean, he instantly makes your defense better. He's probably one of the most versatile guys in the league. He can drop. He can rush the passer. And he's stout against the run. He seems healthy. He seems excited. So, you know, they don't have a lot of big names at linebacker, but they've got a lot of guys that are versatile. You know, Hightower, Kyle Van Noy. I think I'm really excited to watch Juwan Bentley in real game situations. So, yeah, it's there's not a ton of depth there, but I think that it's quality over quantity.
Bill Belichick doesn't normally miss high up in the first round of the draft. The second round, it can get a little spottier for Bill Belichick. There's some big home runs. There are some misses as well. We saw them move on from Jordan Richards in a trade late last week. We also saw them cut Cyrus Jones. Is there a commonality with some of those misses from Bill Belichick?
You know, I think it's just, coincidence more than anything. And you know, injuries in Cyrus' case is really what did him in this year. I thought that maybe he would be a candidate to come back on a practice squad for a little more rehab, and because he was starting to show that explosiveness. You know, Jordan Richards, I think it's you can't say anything else other than it was a miss. I mean, he never really found his niche in this defense. He struggled in coverage. He struggled to tackle. Really smart kid, but just wasn't a great fit right in this defense. I think they tried, a number of positions. They tried him kind of in a hybrid linebacker, and we kind of got overpowered. They tried him at safety, and he was lacking in coverage. So, he just kind of a guy you had to move on from.
All right, give me Jim McBride a reason to fear anybody else in the AFC East.
Oh boy. Sam Darnold, I guess. This guy is going to be the youngest starting quarterback in league history. And, watching him at SC the last couple of seasons, I think he's a reason to be excited about the future if I'm a Jets fan. But I'm not sure this year. Boy, Rich, that's a tough one.
I'm trying. There's nothing I want more than to be at least one team in the division, like the Rex Ryan years. I mean, I want there to be one team that you actually get up for the game. Like, I'm excited for this. And I'm looking.
Well, I'd head up to Buffalo on a Monday night for that game. That seems like it's going to be pretty exciting. To play in Orchard Park with the Mafia out on a primetime game. I mean, that's usually a 1 o'clock game up there. I think this is going to be an exciting atmosphere, and I know how you love the Mafia.
Oh, it's the best. Have you experienced it firsthand? The diving through tables and lighting themselves on fire. Have you been there for that?
I've seen one dive through a table. I haven't seen any fires, but walking through to the press box one time, we did see a table diver, and it was it's a lot more shocking in person than it is on YouTube. I got to tell you.
Oh, I want to go. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like, for a couple of years now, I've been like, I am going to make the trip. Monday night obviously is going to suck because we have to work the next morning. But a buddy of mine went, and he said the first thing he saw when he walked towards where all the tailgating was. Was there was just the rim of a toilet bowl, not anything underneath it, just the rim of a toilet bowl sticking out underneath the back of a truck, and it was attached to the end where it was sticking straight out, and there was a dude sitting on it and using the bathroom.
I'm not surprised. It's when you walk through that the tailgating zones, it's almost like you're walking through a live taping of a Jackass episode.
Sure. It's like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. It's like they're just, killing the weak and lighting themselves on fire, and only the strong shall survive. But I'm looking for some sort of hope in any kind of AFC East challenge. Maybe we won't see it for a couple of years now, but I think the over under on every one of these teams is like 6 and 6.5, right around there. So once again, as Dan Shaughnessy says, it looks like the division will be a group of tomato cans. It will be fun to watch Sam Darnold, though, and see what he's got. But all right, Jim, we appreciate it. We will talk to you again later on the season.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, 617-779-0985. By the way, that whole Hampton Beach Legionnaires disease thing is a national story now. Like, that's gross. Like, there's a guy that died. I think that they're saying within like a 3 or 4 block radius of that one hotel where everyone was getting sick.
Yeah.
That the CDC has basically said there's a warning if you stayed in any place. See, the one thing is I saw a thing on like a news special, and they talked to somebody who was staying at that hotel, and they're like, what do you think? And he goes, I'm cool. I don't think it's going to happen to me, but we're good.
Like the beginning of the movie Outbreak.
A guy died from the, and I don't even know, I didn't even know what Legionnaire's disease was until I saw this story about Hampton Beach. But, I mean, this has become like a national story.
Yeah, drink a lot of orange juice. I'll be good.
Right. It's like scurvy, like back with the pirate, when there were sailors and pirates back in the day. All right, 617-779-0985. Right after John Wallach's headlines, we'll get into it.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones filming this morning for Fred. And how much college football did you guys watch this weekend?
A ton.
Yep. Watched a little of the Virginia Tech beatdown yesterday. Not much.
I look forward most of Sunday to LSU and Miami, and then it was just an awful game.
You know what's funny is that, to me, you know, I watched a little bit of it. It was kind of the fish tank. There wasn't any one game I was locked in on. However, the highlight of the weekend would be, once again, Nick Saban being Nick Saban. So after his throttling, who were they playing?
Louisville.
Okay. Yeah. Once again, it was a throttling, and he had both his quarterbacks in there, and there's been a lot of questions about who's your guy out of the two quarterbacks that you had. Both of them played. Both of them played well. And so after the game, a reporter named Maria Taylor approached Nick Saban and wanted to ask a legitimate question. And once again, there's both quarterbacks played. Both played well.
It's like the only interesting thing in the game.
Sure.
Alabama killed them, like you said. Like the game wasn't interesting. It was a blowout. The only interesting thing is, hey, who's your quarterback, Nick? Mm-hmm.
So Nick Saban, this is him. Once again, there's nothing that prompted this reaction. Here's the question. Here's how it was answered, and here was the reaction.
What answers did you have about your quarterbacks after watching both of them play tonight?
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
I hear you. Over 500 yards of total offense. What did you see from the entire unit then?
Well, I thought when we executed and did what we were supposed to do, we played pretty well.
Okay, well, we all know that Nick Saban's a dick. We know that, and he's been that way for years. And that's him looking for a fight. There's no reason he should have acted that way.
Yeah, your head coach for life for as long as you want it.
Right.
You can pretty much do what you want. John Gruden's a perfect example of that,
literally
too.
No reason for him to pop off at her. And there's people actually who are giving her crap for her. It's like, I see what you're saying. You know, if you're her, you're probably just, and you shouldn't be, but if you're standing on the field and someone treats you like that when you don't deserve it, it probably shocks you a little bit, and you know, probably just kind of go, okay, all right.
People
and
are giving her crap like she should have followed up or been, like, tougher?
Right. There's some people who are saying, well, you should have called him out, you know, for being rude, like saying, pardon me, but I didn't deserve that tone, or I believe this is a legitimate question. Why are you acting the way, you know, so negatively? You know, there's a million different ways that people want her to be this superhero standing up to Nick Saban, whereas if I'm her, I'm probably feeling shocked, even though I should have expected something like that to happen, because he's known for doing crap like that. And it got me thinking, like, he's like, there's a lot of people who are jerks to the media after games, you know, but people who are, you know, he's a real dick, like he is. But there's also, like, the funny dicks. You know, there's guys who, like, you
see. Popovich.
Like Popovich. Okay, so there is a distinct difference between being a real dick, a funny dick, and, like, a fake dick.
Yep. So, yeah. Somebody save that, please. Save that last quote.
Do you understand what I'm
saying,
though? Like, there's people who try to bow up to the media, and there's certain people who are immediately just like, okay, well, this guy's irredeemable. Like, David Price. I would put him in the same category as Nick Saban. Like, this guy's just a miserable human being, and he's just somebody who you know that no matter how hard they try, they
not
can never
funny.
Change. No,
not funny. Not having
fake.
A good time with it. Just a prick.
This guy is just a dick, and it'll always be that way. However, there's ones guys that are kind of funny. They're condescending, but they do it in a way that makes you go, all right, well, this guy's busting chops. You know, like he's in on the joke. And the guy on the other side doesn't feel, like, you know, horrible after it's done because he knows that it's all part of the ruse. Greg Popovich, perfect example.
You see there in the first 12.
As soon as we substituted, it went to crap.
Pop, thank you, Mike.
Okay, that is a classic Greg Popovich. And he doesn't hate Doris Burke, and he's not being a jerk to Doris Burke because there's always kind of a wink and a nod.
Do you have
know?
Any regrets about not going smaller earlier? No, are you coaching now? You should try not to do that.
I know that. I learned that a long time ago.
Even though that one sounds kind of real.
No, that one's... See, he's kind of a prick.
Yeah, that's stepping outside of character,
That one sounds a little harsher, actually, as I play it. But for the most part, he's kind of a funny one. And to be quite honest, and maybe it's just because I live here in New England, and I hear every one of his press conferences, and to me, it's funny. It's like Gladiator Games. I find Bill Belichick to kind of be, like, funny. You know, when he does his thing, because it's so predictable, and...
See, I lump Belichick and Popovich together.
Yeah,
they're
me
definitely
too.
Both pricks to the media, but it is funny.
It is funny.
It is funny. I don't really know that, you know, that they're in on the joke per se, but sure. It is funny,
right?
And, to watch them just beat people down,
and maybe it's because once again we're used to it and we've seen this, and the way he like. You know, when Burt Breer asked a question and he'll say, you know, remember that he was like, you know, there are no two players that are the same.
Yep.
Some are hurt. Some aren't hurt. Some play well. Some don't play well. And right. He just like over explains things. That's condescending. But to me, it's funny. And like the watermelon crawl thing, last week, for some reason, I find that whereas I'm sure the rest of the country outside of New England probably goes, well, this guy would be in the same category as Nick Saban. Like, the Nick Saban, like, true a-hole category is kind of an elite club. You got to really be, hateable and have no redeeming qualities and no, like, wink and a nod to be in that club. And so far, all I can think of...
Price is a good one. You said Price earlier. That's a good
Saban,
one.
Saban, Pitino.
Ooh, Rick Pitino's a good one.
I think you got to throw in there.
Yep.
And I can't think of anyone else... Okay, you want to talk about, like, fake a-hole.
So wait, who are you going to say?
Here's a new category. Like the
fake a-hole.
Yeah. All right. The fake dick. This would be Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper. Oh, do you like Cloud
Bush?
Okay. That's one. LeBron James. That's another one. Like I think he comes in trying to act all tough. Like,
you think so?
Better questions next time. And you're like, Yeah. You got us there. Like, nobody feels really intimidated when LeBron James says something like that.
Where's Tortorella fall on the scale?
Oh, he's funny. Tortorella's great.
He's like a Belichick.
Oh, Tortorella's
Popovich.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, Tortorella's a great one. See, he's funny as hell because he always put picks on that Brooksy guy.
Yeah, Larry Brooks. Yeah,
yeah, and like he's
Brooksy.
And sometimes you can be such a jerk that it's comical. Yeah, Tortorella, I would put in that category. That's a great one. He goes on the funny list.
He can be a little fake though.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Hang on. Let's see. This is Tortorella. Let's see.
Like a little hard, fake hard. Getting
nothing on the board?
No. We know what we did.
Tim Taylor was talking about he feels you guys still gained a little bit of momentum because of the way you played.
We know what we did. We know what we did.
What did you do?
Next question.
What did you do? I mean, you know what you did. What did you think you did?
Brooksy, if I want to explain it to you, I would. Next question.
What do you think about Brodeur's play tonight?
I don't coach Brodeur. I coach this hockey team in Tampa.
What was the exchange with McClain? Your exchange?
Johnny McClain?
Yeah.
You should ask him.
Are you answering no questions or what?
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy. Okay. You get that through your head?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a waste of time. Though.
Oh, then get the fuck out of here then.
I am.
Okay, see ya. Next question.
Okay, see, that's funny. To me, he's funny. And like he'll say stuff and he always picks on that one guy, which makes it great.
No, and that guy usually is good firing back too.
Oh yeah, of course he doesn't back down.
Larry Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, he's get some facts and come back and see me. I mean, that's great. People say Schilling. Well, I mean, Schilling, nobody cares about Curt Schilling. Jim Calhoun, he's funny. I find Jim Calhoun to be kind of funny.
Calhoun's much more funny than an
A-hole. Yeah, I'd lump in Calhoun with the Belichick Popovich. They're kind of they're definitely pricks, and it's unnecessary how they treat the media, but yeah. It's funny.
But I mean, I'm talking like in the it takes a lot
to
get in that exclusive club, right? To be at the same level as Nick Saban, who's just like you could tell is just like a horrible person. I mean, to do that on field to that woman, I think he was looking for a fight. He was looking to be angry at somebody for no reason. He had that ready to go, no matter what. David Price is that way.
Yeah, Price is in that group. That's
and
a
I
good
can,
one.
And I think that Rick Pitino, those are the only three that I can think of.
There's got to be
right
more.
Right now, there's got to be more. And for some reason, I'm having a hard time. 617-779-0985. Who belongs in that special category with Nick Saban of just being such a horrible human being that there's nothing redeemable about them as far as just their attitude towards the media. And when you hear them speak publicly, you just know that, all right, well, they are just a grade A a-hole. 617-779-0985, because it sure as hell isn't Belichick. It's not Popovich. It's not Tortorella, because there's something redeeming and funny about those guys. Stan Van Gundy, he's great. He's kind of a funny a-hole. But the other ones, I can't think of anyone else who's in that stratosphere of Nick Saban.
What's Bobby Valentine? Just a psycho.
Oh, he's a clown.
He's
a
psycho.
That's a different category.
No.
There's a clown category.
That's like a whole other category.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's just clown. Yeah, 617-779-0. Oh, we got a great one on hold. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back with your calls.